much for agreeing to be our interfaith panel today. And I know it can be kind of intimidating, and so I know some of you are nervous, but we're not very scary. So, no. So I've asked three questions of our guests. And the first question is, what is your understanding of the nature of God or creator or by whatever name you call the holy? So,
say that question again, please.
What is your understanding? What is your understanding of the nature of God by whatever name you call the holy?
Okay, we my culture called him or her the creator. The creator, you know, obviously brought everybody here. We worship the creator very similar to what, similar ways you do here, song. We don't use a piano, we use a drum. But it's still the matter of going, the creator brought us here. The creator is the one that we honor for being here, for having food for us, to have shelter, the whole gamut of life.
Thank you. I'm the one that's the nervous one that Jennifer was talking about. So please bear with me. But first, before I start, if you don't mind, I would just like to say a thank you to the interfaith team here at Knox United Church for inviting us all here together. It's obvious that you are a community of faith and that you aren't struggling with prejudices. And that's evidenced by the fact that you're willing to sit here today in fellowship and invite peoples from other religions to hear what we have to say and to find the commonality between us. So before I start, may I please say thank you. I really appreciate that. And being one of the nervous ones, I wrote my note. Please don't be worried, it's not that long. It's just, it's big font. The other thing I want to thank the committee for in the invitation is that in posing the questions, it's not often that we sit down in solitude or with friends, and think about what is the essence of God? Who is this man? Is he a man? That's the thing. The first thing that came to my mind was about when I was 5 or 6 in a Roman Catholic school learning religion from the Baltimore Catechism. And I don't know if everybody knows that, but the questions that were asked is, who is God? God is the supreme being. What does God do? God loves us. And where does God live? God lives everywhere. Very simple answers to very intense questions. But Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith, has said it in another way. He says, O son of being, love me that I might love you. If thou lovest me not, how can my love reach thee? Know this, O my servant. Isn't that beautiful? A note from God. In the Baha'i faith, like in all of the other faiths, we believe that God is the creator of the universe. He is eternal. He is in the past, and he is forever in our future. He progressively educates humanity through successive revealed religions. The Baha'i writings state that there is only one God, and that God, in his essence, in his own self, has never been seen, and is in fact unknowable. The more that we imagine God, it is not the reality of God, because God is beyond the highest conception of man. And that statement resonates with me, because despite our broad and imaginative concepts of God, we are limited by our own limited human minds. We cannot even start to contemplate on how wonderful and how, well, I can't even find the words now, the essence of God. But yet we know that we are to know him, we are to love him, we are to embrace him, and we are to go back to him. So how do we get to find that unknowable God? Baha'u'llah has written that God sent us a message that said, I have breathed within thee a breath of my own spirit, so that thou mayest be my lover. So how do we get to know God? The Baha'i writings teach that to aid and enlighten us, God has provided humanity with divinely inspired messengers who came throughout history and who founded the world's great faiths. They brought to the world ethical, moral, and spiritual teachings to everyone. Baha'u'llah calls these messengers from God divine manifestations, the perfect mirror for God's essence and for the Supreme Being's love. And it is through studying the lives and the teachings of these manifestations that we are informed of the reality of God. To inspire, these messengers inspired civilizations based on their own spiritual teachings, and they advanced our collective humanity and maturity during each of their own dispensations. And so to answer the question, we know the unknowable reality of God by knowing and loving his messengers, each and every one of them. When we learn of God's love for us by dedicating our lives to the knowledge, the lessons, the teachings, and the laws of each manifestation, it is through our ceaseless endeavor, by learning of them, that we are guided back to God, and we finally get to meet his true essence. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. I wish I could just be silent right now and contemplate those words from Cindy. Well, my role is to talk as a Buddhist. I have a confession first. I haven't got God all figured out. And with the Buddhist lens, the Buddha never talked about God. Maybe in his wisdom, he didn't even try. But he did talk about a place called Nirvana, but I'll come to that later, I think. My own understanding of God, comes from many sources, not just Buddhism and Christianity, in poetry, in personal experience. I'm not as organized as Cindy. I didn't print my notes. I jotted some notes in my iPhone, but I'm not going to look at them. All right. So maybe I can just be excused, because Buddha never talked about God.
Vivian, can you just hold it?
Okay. Yes, where was I? Okay, the Buddha never talked about God. My understanding of God began with the Christian faith, but when I looked through Buddhism and a whole bunch of other spiritual paths when I was at university and studying comparative religion, I turned inward, and that's part of the Buddhist path, is to meditate on one's own nature. So we can look to scripture and, of course, the Bible and pastors and sermons for an understanding of God. But I kind of developed an understanding of God through knowing myself. In the Bible, you know, there are passages that say, "Know thyself and ye shall know God." Or maybe that was Pythagoras, I think. I think the Buddha and Pythagoras were friends. So the Buddha really pointed us towards knowing ourselves through meditation based on the Four Noble Truths that he discovered through enlightenment, through like 49 days of nonstop meditation, which I could never achieve. So I don't have much hope in really like reaching this state called Nirvana. I'm looking at the time. Beyond all the religions and the poetry, I just have a simple hope and dream that my understanding of God at this stage of my life is true, that God is ultimately full of forgiveness, compassion, and unconditional love, which is in sync with the Dalai Lama's religion of kindness.
What are some of the basic tenets or practices of your spirituality that are most important to you?
One of our spirituality is respect, honor, especially to the ladies. The ladies of our culture, the women are the backbone of our society and culture. That's very important. But as well, we must remember, with that comes, you know, yourself. As in, we must, if you have no respect for yourself, it'll be really, really hard to have respect for anybody or anything else. We must honor the fact that we have food. We must respect and honor the fact that we have gatherers of the food. And we have gatherers of the fruit. We have, you know, whatever's going to happen with the men to the gathering. Sometimes the women do the processing. But it's all a matter of going, it's a community. Not unlike what you have here. It's a matter of going, it's all done, not for one family, but for the community. It's all always done like that, practiced like that. And it's sometimes we lose that sight, as all people lose that sight, as for whatever reason happens, and something happens in their life, and you may kind of get distracted or stray from there. We get that horrible word of greed comes into your world, and that happens everywhere. But still, it's medical, you have to have respect everywhere. But, you know, just the whole concept is respect.
I apologize because I don't know if everybody knows what the Baha'i Faith is. We are the latest revelation from God, the latest world religion, and the founder of the Baha'i Faith is Baha'u'llah. And so if I have said those names before and you didn't quite know them, I apologize. So in the Baha'i Faith, 150 years ago, Baha'u'llah said, the earth is one country and mankind is its citizen, 150 years ago. And so the central theme of Baha'u'llah's mission and his faith is teaching is one word, and that's unity. It's the word of our faith. The belief that humanity is a single race which should now be unified into a global society. Baha'u'llah reminds us that human beings originally lived in isolated homes, and then we moved into tribes, we moved into city-states, and then we moved into nationhoods. And the Baha'is believe that now humanity must move forward to form a united global community. The reality is we are one race, we are one single people inhabiting the planet Earth, one human family bound together through a common destiny, and we have to be unified in our social, our economic, and our spiritual beliefs in order to fulfill our destiny. The writings say we are the leaves and the fruit of the same tree. We are the branches of the tree of Adam, and we all have the same origin. It is. To help advance the maturity of humanity, Baha'u'llah has given us a set of social and spiritual framework to advance the oneness of my mankind. The outline is, I'll share them with you, but they're not limited to these. He says there has to be universal peace upheld by a world government. There has to be independent investigation for truth. The common foundation of all is the common foundation of religions. The essential harmony of science and religion is a must. There has to be equality between men and women. We have to eliminate the prejudices of all kinds. There has to be universal, compulsory education for everyone. A spiritual solution must be found for the economic problems of our time, and there has to be a universal auxiliary language. It's hard to imagine what the benefits and blessings that would descend upon our human world if unity and brotherhood were established. And Baha'is around the world believe and they work tirelessly towards the tenet that in this century, the means and attainment for and the accomplishment for human and unity and human fellowship has appeared in the world, brought to us by Baha'u'llah with a framework that comes from God. And that's our marching orders for this century. Thanks.
Wow. That resonates well with me. I think I'll be a Baha'ist too. Okay, thank you. Basic tenets. Well, as a Buddhist, you know, the Buddha presented the Four Noble Truths that life has suffering. Matter of fact, nothing earth-shattering. We all know that. And suffering comes from our wants and desires run wild. And there's a way out of the cycle of wanting this and then getting it and wanting more and then getting into conflicts and fighting over things. It's through the Eight Noble Path. No, it's through the, yeah. Did I get the words mixed up? Sometimes I get dyslexic when I'm nervous. The Eightfold Path, which consists of a guidance, you know, as you can call it ethics or morality, but the eight aspects are right view, which has to do with one's attitude, right intention, which to me means to do all things with sincerity, and speech, right speech, to speak in ways that are not harmful to others. And then there's right action, right livelihood, right mindfulness, and finally, right concentration. So this is a spiritual path. I often see Buddhism as a spiritual path rather than a religion. It's more like a system of living and philosophy. So the basic tenets are those, and I'm not an expert on Buddhism. It's what I have drawn from it. So I meditate as a basic practice of my spirituality, and it's a way of turning inward to look for God, which ultimately, hopefully, is in us. The kingdom of God is within. We were made in the divine image of God. Is there divinity in us? There is darkness in us, but there is also light. What was the question again? Basic tenets.
Basic tenets and practices.
Right, practices. Well, you know, meditation is my practice, and the tenets that I sometimes follow are Buddhist. But I think I'm going to explore Baha'i.
And then the final question. What key similarities and key differences do you notice between your faith perspective and the perspective of other faith traditions?
One of the most common threads, as you all may or may not know, is that cultures, religions, faiths, one of the things very common is the flood story. Somebody cleansed the earth, be it whomever we call them, the creator. There's stories every, even within our world, the New Chanoth people, the Kwagyuth people, the Salish, they all have a different flood story. But still, I think in your faith there was a flood story. So that's one of the big ones that I've always noticed was going, somebody cleansed it for whatever reason. Whomever was, it had to start again. A big difference. One thing that I see all the time in any church that I've been to a few is the fact that the children are very important, but in our world we don't take them away for the teachings. They stay within the big house. This is where we call it our church, the big house or long house. There's a difference. But still, you know, the children are kept with us. The children learn to sit. The children learn to... We taught our son, and many children learned the same thing. We call them big house rules. There's things you cannot do in a big house or a long house. And there's dances to, shall we say, teach the kids. There's one dance that my son just went crazy over, because of course it's called the Greedy Gus. Greedy Gus throws money around, but of course it's the temptation. Remember I spoke earlier about greed. Greedy Gus is teaching everybody, just going, leave it there. It's not yours. Just because you find it doesn't mean it belongs to you. And it was funny. Sometimes he would bring friends of his to the big house and invite them to a potlatch. And these kids are going, let's go get them. No, you can't. That's greeting us. You got to leave greeting us alone. And it's odd how, you know, I understand why you take them over there, because when I was younger, people would go visit me about churches, and we were removed for whatever reason from some of the adults, and that was the way it was done. But I mean, similarities, differences, you can look anywhere at anything and find similarities and differences. But I still like the fact of going, somebody cleaned it, somebody cleaned the world with water. And that's where we all, you have communion, and people do baptisms, water, cleaning. We do the cleansing, but we use immersion for water. When we do a cleansing, sometimes you have to be cleansed, and you do it by going to the ocean, to the salt water or the river. You've got to be cleansed, but you do it again, immerse yourself, and just to do whatever's on you to remove it. When I go to hospitals, I get brushed, cedar brushed, the same, because I don't know who's in the hospital, I don't know who's in that room, but I get cleansed when I come out, because I want that. I want to make sure that whatever I brought home from there is gone. And you do the same thing here by Sunday, by preaching, by listening to your minister, and the same idea going, you know, this is what you do. Everybody sits here on a Sunday to listen, whereas we only what's the word I'm looking for? We gather for a reason, not every week, not every month. Potlatch, a marriage, a death, coming of age, specific reasons, not weekly, but again, that's a difference. Thank you.
Okay. The Baha'i faith is often defined in the terms believing in three onenesses. The oneness of humanity, that we are all equal, despite our differences in culture, our ethnicity, our gender, and even the physical shapes of our body. The oneness of God, regardless of who you pray to, if you call him Allah, Deu, Judah, Jehovah, or Great Spirit, they are all one from God. They are the messengers of God. The oneness of the manifestations, that they are all divinely ordained gifts from God. Baha'is accept, respect, and we revere the religions of Abraham, Moses, Krishna, Zoroaster, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad, and the sacred traditions of the prophets and teachers of all of the indigenous peoples in the world. The Baha'i faith teaches that the different religions are like stages in the eternal history and the constant evolution of religion. One single meta-religion, unified, systematic, progressive revelation, one school with many teachers. So in reality, each religion is actually an earlier chapter in the changeless faith of God. And so therefore, we have no differences. We are similar because we come from the same origin. But I'm not going to sit here and be naive. Of course, we have dissension in the world now. We have lots of issues, and a lot of them stem from religion. And yet most of mankind, they have concerns and even doubt the actual presence of divine messengers in the world. But any difference in beliefs or traditions that we find in the world are created by human intervention and are not divine influence. The divine influence is unity, the golden rule. If we abandon time-worn prejudices and investigated our true reality, humanity would be unified. There would be no discord. Antagonism would disappear. We would associate in fellowship, and we would enjoy the cordial bonds of friendship. The world of creation would reclaim its composure, and the sun of reality would actually gloriously shine. And I'd actually like to end with one quote from the Baha'i Faith. And in my humble arrogance, I like to think that this is a message that God wrote specifically for me. But I'll share it with you. O Son of Man, veiled in my immemorial being and in the ancient eternity of my essence, I knew my love for thee. Therefore, I created thee, and I engraved on thee my image and revealed to thee my purpose. O God, let me love me so that you may love me so that I may love thee. Thank you.
Wow, what can I say after this? similarities and differences. What I found recently was that all religions have a lot of similarities, you know, and I'm sure you all know, Brotherhood of Humankind, the Golden Rule. But when I looked at some differences and I interpret those differences in different ways, they kind of merge again. I had some examples in my iPhone, but okay, I'll just rely on my memory.
Vivian, hold
there. Okay. Similarities and differences. Similar to one aspect of Cindy's points, I began to see religions as different languages speaking the same message. There are different doctrines.
Just died. Yeah. Oh, okay. There goes.
I think one aspect of Christianity that I grappled a long time with is the concept of original sin. That one must admit one's sinfulness, and I don't have a problem with that. And the only way to God is through Jesus. I don't grapple with that anymore because I see that in all religions, you know, it's a reflection. Religions give us a mirror to reflect who we are, and in this reflection, there are all aspects: the light and the good and the dark. In Buddhism, so I'll try to focus my talk on Buddhism since this appears to be my role is to talk more about Buddhism. I keep diverging because that's my background. I'm not of one faith. I'm of all faiths, I like to think. In Buddhism, there is focus on the darkness in human nature that caused so much suffering in the world. So to attain freedom and unity, we need to work on ourselves as it begins with us. You know, and one of the paths is through meditation. It's really a kind of self-confession. In Christianity or Catholicism, you know, there's confessions. Through meditation, it's a kind of cleansing of one's mind. It's a cleansing ritual to me when I meditate. I cleanse my mind. I cleanse myself of experiences that I engaged in that were either good or not so good, and I move forward. So it's a kind of self-confession. That's a similarity. Gee, how come my mind is blank now? I had a whole bunch of things. Okay. Have I gone over the time now? Okay.
So I want to thank all of you for sharing. And I know it was a hard position for you to be in, Vivian, because you have practiced Buddhism, but you also consider yourself a Christian. And now I think a Baha'i. So... And also for Joseph Campbell, he is gone now, but he started out as a Roman Catholic. Then he was a a professor of comparative religions in the U.S. And in order to understand all the world religions, he actually learned the language. So he learned Sanskrit to be able to study the Hindu scriptures, and he learned Hebrew to study the Jewish scriptures, and he learned Greek to study the Christian scriptures. And so he spent his lifetime studying all the world's major traditions in their original language. And what he concluded was that if whatever culture or whatever religion we happen to be born into, whatever place in the world that practices and that's the major religion, learn that faith well, and we will arrive at the same place. And I think Bob Struthers, who's a member of this congregation, always tells a story, and I think it's a good one. He said when the Dalai Lama was speaking and someone said, so are you saying that that all the world religions are the same? And he said, oh, no, no, no. I'm saying whatever path you follow, God will find you there. And so thank you for sharing the different paths, because I think I've always seen it like a river of life, and all the tributaries are the main world's religions and the practices and the paths, but they're all coming into the same river, and they're all coming from the same source. And if out of the mouth pouring out at the end of the river is compassion and loving kindness and justice and peace and truth, then that's where we need to end up. So it sounds like that's what you're all saying. So thank you for sharing today. And hopefully as we continue on our paths and we learn more about the other traditions and practices, we can learn from one another and be that unified one people on one earth under one creator within and around us. Thank you so much.